Ride along each week as we share proven strategies to strengthen your business, energize your team, and create the business success you've been dreaming about. And now, here's your host, Rich Allen.
How do you make things right when you screw up with a customer? Welcome to the Ultimate Business Tune-Up Podcast, where our one and only goal is to help you tune up your business so you can have the long-lasting success and fulfillment that comes from owning a solid, profitable, and sustainable business. Each week, we dive deep into a single topic related to improving your business, improving your team engagement, or improving the relationship with your customers. Our topic this week is one that no one enjoys or looks forward to, but one that all of us have to deal with from time to time. It's the reality that no matter how good we are at serving our customers, inevitably, there will be situations where our customer is disappointed with us, with our product or our service, or how they're treated by someone on our team. Which is why I think it's important to take a few minutes to think about, how do you make things right when you screw up with a customer? I think it's safe to say that all of us who are business owners have come face to face with this question in our past. And odds are, we will have to answer this question again in the future, no matter how hard we try to avoid it. Oftentimes, the screw-up's not intentional, or perhaps may not even be our fault, but where the fault lies is not the point of our discussion today. The point is, when a screw-up does happen, how do you make things right with your customer? We'll save the question of how do you keep screw-ups from happening again and again for another day. We'll have fun with that one because it has something to do with developing pokey yoke systems in your business. But don't get me started on that topic. Let's focus on making it right today. So perhaps a good place to start is to share a few examples of what I mean by a screw-up with your customer. I'm sure that as soon as I say the phrase screw up, several scenarios come to mind for you. Let's see if we're thinking about similar situations. Some examples of screw ups may happen without you or anyone on your team even being aware of them. Things like the links on your website don't work, so your customer can't access details or resources that you promised them. Or your office is closed and locked when your hours of operation suggest you should be open. Or your phone system is down and your customer gets a busy signal when they try to call and ask a question or get some assistance. These kinds of screw-ups are perhaps the most frustrating because you may never know which of your customers you impacted. I would bet that most of them would never tell you about it. They would just go on about their daily lives. But in the back of their mind, they're frustrated or disappointed and wonder if they made the right choice in doing business with your company. Other examples of screw-ups might be minor and may fall into a category of no big deal, at least on the surface. These include things like your customer service agent recommends a solution without having all the details to know that their solution will not work, or your customer places a to-go order, and when they get home, they realize that part of what they ordered is wrong or missing. Or you confirm an appointment for 9 a.m., but then get tied up with another customer and show up 45 minutes late for the appointment. Or you recommend a specific product, and your customer agrees, then you find out it's out of stock and won't be available for 3 months, long after it's needed to complete the job. Clearly, these screw-ups aren't the end of the world, but they undermine your customer's confidence in you and your team. Again, most customers won't say anything about the screw-up to you directly, but when they're having lunch with a friend, it's likely to come up as they share, "You won't believe what happened to me today," kinds of stories. Then there are screw-ups that are both major and impactful. These are ones that we all hope to avoid, but all too often they happen anyway. Things like, you give an estimate to repair something that's broken, but when you get to the bottom of the problem, the cost to fix it's going to be much higher than your estimate. And when you tell your customer the bad news, you're knee-deep in the project already. Or you commit to be finished with the job before Thanksgiving when your customer's having out-of-town guests, but when the big day comes, you're nowhere close to being done. Or you give advice or recommendation to your customer and it turns out to be bad advice, costing them more time, money, and effort than was expected to resolve the problem. Or you make a promise of an outcome, and after your customer follows your step-by-step process to the letter, they don't get the promised outcome. These screw-ups are likely to result in an angry customer, a bad review, or perhaps even a damage claim of some sort. Clearly, we all want to avoid these at all costs. Yet the risk is always there that they may happen when you least expect it. So what should you do when these kinds of things happen? Clearly, none of these examples are things you wanted to happen, and in most cases, you try to run your business to ensure they never happen. But let's be honest, we've all made these kinds of screw-ups. At least I know I have. And I know that my initial reaction when something like this happens is to explain it away or justify it to my customer. But my gut always tells me that's not the correct response. But how should we respond? What should we do when we screw up? Regardless of whether the screw up is big or small, unintentional, or our fault or not. I'd like to suggest that how we make things right happens at different stages in the customer's journey with our business. Let's discuss four different stages, four different points in time that may help make this make more sense. Stage one, when you're with a prospect. The customer's journey with you actually begins before they become a paying customer. It begins when you start communicating with them through your marketing messages. During this courting period, you're sharing with them what makes you different, what makes you unique and better than your competition, and you're directly or indirectly making promises of what it's like doing business with you. During this phase of the customer's journey, you have the opportunity to demonstrate that while you're the best at what you do, things do sometimes go wrong. And when they do, you fix them quickly and don't make excuses. Too often, business owners set themselves up to be bigger than life, someone who never makes mistakes or never gets it wrong. As a result, the new customer has a super high expectation level that's impossible for you to achieve. But you can paint a different picture during the courting process, a picture that you're fully aware of unintentional screw-ups with a sincere intention to avoid them at all costs and fix them quickly if and when they do happen. I particularly like it when, even before becoming a customer, a business owner admits to having screwed up with another customer and shares what they did to resolve it and make it right. This gives me confidence that I'm dealing with someone who's both tuned in and realistic in their approach to business. How could you improve your marketing messages to set a more realistic set of expectations for your prospective customers? Stage two is with a new customer. As you begin your relationship with a new customer, you have a unique one-time opportunity to do some positioning with regard to any future screw-ups. I use the word positioning intentionally in that this is a perfect time for you to create the alignment or expectation of what is to come in the future. Customers appreciate and value competence, consistency, and not being surprised. They do business with you because they believe you're competent in your field or industry. They continue to do business with you when you provide them consistency in their experience with you, and when they can be certain that they won't be surprised by what happens or how they'll be treated. Think about that for a minute. We all like to know with certainty that our experience is going to be the same whether we engage with a business on Monday morning or Friday afternoon, whether Sally is helping us or Bill is helping us. If our experience is the same quality and pleasantness, then we'll return again and again. It's when the unexpected happens too often that we begin to question whether this is a place where we want to spend our money or invest our time. So as your new customer begins their journey with you, you may have a unique one-time opportunity to share with them what may happen in the future and explain to them what you want them to do and how you will handle it. Here's an example. If a big part of your business is doing business online, then as part of your onboarding process with a new customer, you could include something like this. If for any reason our website's not available, we've got a Get Help Now number that you can text and let us know that you're stuck. We'll troubleshoot the problem and place the order for you if necessary. Our goal is to never leave you stuck behind your computer, frustrated that you can't get what you need. How would your new customer feel if they knew that you had already thought of the kinds of problems that may happen to make their experience less than excellent? I think they would feel very cared for, and their confidence in your business would go up even before the screw-up happened. Your situation may be different than this example, but I believe you could write a similar onboarding script for any of the screw-ups you've experienced in the past and position your new customers to let them know that you're aware of the possibility and have already thought of a workaround or a make-it-right solution. This is your opportunity to be proactive in this area. Stage 3 is when you're with a current customer. This is most likely where most of your screw-ups occur and also where most of your effort must be to make things right. The last thing you want to do is give your customers the impression that what happens to them after they become a customer doesn't really matter to you. Yet when you don't effectively address screw-ups, even the small, insignificant ones, it's precisely the message you're sending to them. That's why it's important to be hyper-responsive if and when a screw-up does occur. When dealing with an existing customer, there are some fundamental principles we can all agree on. This is when you must seek to understand, be empathetic, take responsibility, express appreciation, and most importantly, make things right. These fundamental principles don't change, even if it's not your fault or not the fault of one of your team members. If the screw-up was out of your control, it still requires that you apply these fundamental principles. Seeking to understand is about being a great listener. You do this by giving your customer the time necessary to vent and share not only what happened, but to go into detail about the impact that the screw-up had on them. Being empathetic is about acknowledging their frustration and their inconvenience. Even if personally you don't think it's a big deal, to your customer it is, and how you respond to their complaint will have a lot to do with how they feel about you and your business in the future. Your goal is to let them know that they've been heard and that you take it seriously. It matters to you because it matters to them. Taking responsibility is about owning the screw-up. Don't blame it on anyone else, either inside your business or outside your business. Simply acknowledge that it was a failure of your standard protocol, and that's not okay with you. Your customer wants you to own your shortcomings. They don't want an explanation of why or who dropped the ball. They simply want to know that you're willing to take responsibility and do what is necessary to keep it from happening in the future. Expressing appreciation is about giving your customer credit for being willing to share the screw-up with you directly, rather than sharing it publicly or on social media. And to be clear, if you are responding to a customer's social media post where they shared the screw-up with others, the same principles apply. Never use a public forum to defend or deny a screw-up that's been declared against you. If a false accusation has been made, handle it in private, not in public. Your public-facing response should be made with humility while accepting responsibility and making the commitment to always make it right with your customers. Stage 4 is with a past customer. This last stage is where screw-ups become more charged with emotion and have a tendency to get out of hand. It's not uncommon for a past customer to share their true feelings if they feel they've been done wrong by a business. Oftentimes, these true feelings are laced with dislike, disgust, or even disdain for the person or business that in their mind has harmed them. And I'll be quick to add, in many cases, the claims may be exaggerated or blown out of proportion as they tell the story in hopes of getting sympathy from their friends, which all makes it even more critical that we address screw-ups in the earlier stages of engagement with our customers. No one wants to address screw-ups after a customer has left. There's little to be gained or salvaged, and as a result, the gloves are off and the name-calling takes center stage. Your assignment is to avoid having screw-up arise in this final stage. And if handled properly in stages 1, 2, or 3, you can and will avoid having many in stage 4. But in the unfortunate situation where it does happen, there are a couple of fundamental rules of engagement that are important here. Number one, never get into a public debate with a past customer. Nothing good will ever come from publicly debating who was right and who was wrong. Number two, do not respond to complaints, written or otherwise, with anything other than the fundamental principles we covered earlier: seeking to understand, being empathetic, taking responsibility, expressing appreciation, and making it right. Number three, get counsel as soon as it's clear that you can't resolve the issue using the fundamental principles we just covered. In the end, the best resolution to screw-ups with past customers is for them to go away as quietly as possible. It's rarely beneficial to take these kinds of issues to court or even to mediation. As the business owner, maintaining your composure and staying focused on serving your current customer well is of paramount importance. Don't allow these distractions to take your eye off the ball. And I'll quickly add, if there's a problem that needs to be fixed, fix it. Oftentimes, complaints from past customers are early indications that something needs to be changed or fixed so that you don't disappoint or frustrate your current customers. So there you have it. Some thoughts to consider when dealing with screw-ups in your business. The reality is we wish they never happen, but we all know they will. So better to be prepared and have a well-thought-through plan of action when the inevitable happens. And because this is a very wide and deep topic, if you have specific questions or would like to bounce around a specific issue you're dealing with, please don't hesitate to reach out and ask. I'd be glad to help you think through the kind of response or reaction that would be most helpful to make it right so you can return your focus to making your business stronger, better, and more profitable. And thanks for sharing this podcast episode with your fellow business owners. We all deal with difficult customer situations, and it always helps to have a plan of action when the unexpected comes our way. Thanks for joining me today. Be sure to tune in next week when we're going to discuss your sales process. You won't want to miss it. Meanwhile, if you have a question, suggestion, or would simply like to connect, shoot me an email at rich@tourtoprofit.com. Now go make it a great week, and whatever you do, ride hard.
Thank you for listening to the Ultimate Business Tune-Up. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes. In the meantime, find more resources at tourtoprofit.com and connect with Rich by sending a message to rich@tourtoprofit.com. Until next time, ride hard.